Sri Jita Parakamalam, Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha, Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitang Tang Sajivam, Sadvaitam, sa, that's Advaita, Sa Advaitam, Sadvaitam Sa Avadutam, Parijana Sahitam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitangscha. Kaviraj Goswami, it's from him. Everything is there. And Rupa Goswami says, Chaitanya Sikam Swarupam Vibranam Jagatatulyam Advaita Dvaita. Advaita Dvaita. It's very beautiful, the poetry. Advaita Dvaita. Advaita Dvaita. Saying how dear Advaita Acharya is to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Once, Mahaprabhu asked Srivas Thakur, like, you know, as people do, what do you think about my Advaita? And I think Srivas Thakur does these things on purpose to draw things out, but he said, like Prahlad, Sukadev, like, and Mahaprabhu said, my Advaita, Prahlad is a kid, Sukadev's a boy of the other day. You dare compare them to my Advaita? So I think Srivas Thakur, he does those things. He knows how to press ontological buttons, siddhantic buttons, to get some flow to come out, to see the intensity of the love of Mahaprabhu for Advaita Acharya. And really, as you see, the calendar is taking us slowly but surely to Gaur Purnima, to the appearance day of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But before that, Advaita Acharya, and then Nityananda Prabhu, and then Madhavendra Puri's disappearance is very important, leading up, and because before the Lord appears, actually, as in Krishna Leela, so in Gaur Leela, the so-called Guru Varga descends. So we think, oh, the gurus? Yes, but guru varga in Sanskrit also means like mother and father, auntie and uncle. They're in the superior group, the guru group in that sense. So before Mahaprabhu appears to lay the groundwork for his appearance, other great devotees come before. It must be so exciting for those who can read this, understand that it means that the time of the Lord's appearance is rapidly approaching. Right. Some extraordinary excitement. But in the case of Advaita Acharya, not only that, but we're told he brought Mahaprabhu down here. The plaintive calls of Advaita that we were telling the other day, it's what is an amazingly wonderful thing is that so many, it can be said of them that their gift was Mahaprabhu. We told the other day, Vishnu Priya, right? That in a sense, that is her gift to the world, to release him, to allow him to take sannyas and inaugurate the Yuga Dharma, Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam Sangha Pangashta Parshadam Yagye Sankirtana Praye Yajantihi Sumedasa. Guru Maharaj renders Sumedasa as those of refined theistic intellect. They'll understand in this age the yagya, as previously they did yagya with elaborate sacrifice and mantras and in the previous yuga. The yagya here is Sankirtan yagya. Kali Kale Nama Rupe Krishna Avatar. In the Kali Yuga, Krishna's descended in the form of his holy name. As once Allen Ginsberg, who had appreciation for Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada liked him, he gave Prabhupada the harmonium. He had brought some back from India, gave one to him, and Prabhupada, you can hear on some old tapes, he's going, does that sound okay? He's talking to some devotees. And people say, well, Prabhupada played harmonium. His songs and things is like from another world. It's just unique to him. And he never played it in a kirtan. It was just in his room privately, he would do that, singing very beautifully these songs. But so Allen Ginsberg, he was very charmed by Prabhupada, told Bobby Kennedy to make sure his visa got extended so he didn't have to leave America. But he would ask Prabhupada different questions. Right? He wrote a preface for the Bhagavad Gita that did the service of drawing the attention of many people in the 60s who revered Allen Ginsberg himself as some sort of a guru to pick up the book. It was actually very clever. The so-called, you know, purple edition, blue, the abridged edition was the one that I first bought and read, had three preface, intro, foreword, one by Thomas Merton, the famous Christian Trappist monk, Thomas Merton. So that drew a section. A poet named Denis Levertov. So that drew like a literary group. And Allen Ginsberg, right, who is famous in the 60s with Bob Dylan and the Beatniks and the hippies and all these things. So he referred to what Prabhupada gave there as Hindu granny wisdom. You know, but so with those three names there, that people are like, oh, Allen Ginsberg, oh, Denis Levertov got the academics, Ginsberg, the 60s, beatnik hippie types, Thomas Merton, mystical Christians, and later Edward Dimmock wrote the big intro for the unabridged, the Sanskritians. But so Ginsberg, he once said to Prabhupada, he said, could it be that Krishna is so merciful to the fallen soul? He knew about the Kali Yuga. There are two poems, major poems of the 20th century. First, The Wasteland by T.S. Eliot. Second half, Howl by Allen Ginsberg. And it sounds like the Kali Kukur, the dogs of Kali, that howl. I saw the best minds of my generation, mad, you know, starving, hysterical, naked, you know, it's like a Kali Yuga dog's howl. That's his poem. So he knew about Kali Yuga, the other things. He'd well read and appreciated India. So he said to Prabhupada, could it be, like Krishna's so merciful, and you're talking about Mahaprabhu and everything, that for the people of the Kali Yuga, his avatar is in the form of LSD. He's so merciful, all you have to do is like take a pill. Apparently God helps those who don't even help themselves. someone else can like drop it on your tongue for you. Yeah. So that's what he said. I don't even remember what Prabhupada responded to that, if he did, but I know what Guru Maharaj said many years later when someone put forth this idea that it's a catalyst for spiritual realization and other things. Yeah. Guru Maharaj is very clear. No amount of finite can produce the infinite. Whether a large amount or a microgram, no amount of finite can give the infinite. That's it, in a nutshell. But on that point about some finite thing giving the infinite, right? Guru Maharaj said, not possible, right? But a Prakriti Lila of Krishna and Kali Kale Nama Rupe Krishna Avatar, Guru Maharaj said, the sum total of the infinite appears as though finite, Krishna. Right? Easier than LSD. Actually, just say Krishna. Right? You don't have to drop anything on your tongue. Well, Charanamritam. You can drop it. You say Krishna. Krishna Charanamritam. Yeah. That you can do. And Prabhupada said in one place, the talks of the pure devotee, he said, they're saturated with saffron mercy particles from the lotus feet of Krishna. That's within the voice of the pure devotee. You can hear that in Prabhupada's voice at various times when he's relishing something and expressing that. And Guru Maharaj Gurudev. So, Krishna appears to be finite. Just two syllables, one name, but the sum total of the infinite there, appearing as though finite, which is consistent with the Prakriti Lila. So, in one sense, Krishna, impossible of impossible things, he's appearing as though finite for our benefit, Krishna, and you vibrate his name, Nama Chinta Mani Krishnas, Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha, Purnakshuddho Nityamukto, Abhinatvam Nama Namano. Abhinatvam means it is identical. This sound representation, Gurudev, almost without exception, every time he initiated someone would say, the transcendental sound vibration form of the Lord, Krishna. And Prabhupada Swamiraj used that a lot too. The transcendental sound vibration form, the infinite, and this divine sound, right? Upon hearing which, Rupa Goswami's poetry said, Tunde tandavini ritim bitanute tundavali labdiye karna krodha kadambini gatayate karnar budhebya spriham cheta prangana, etc. But it ends on Krishneti varna dvayi. Like Krishna varna, Trisha Krishna. Krishneti, there's some, varna dvayi, two syllables. Krishna. And what is the one he's saying? They're sharing, moving in the plain of Vrindavan. I do not know how much nectar is in the whole one name of Krishna. In fact, it is so tasteful and sweet that one tongue is insufficient to relish all the sweetness. My heart expresses the aspiration to have billions of tongues to attend to all of that nectar. And it's so beautiful to hear oral sweetness that two ears are woefully inadequate. My heart's aspiration is to have billions of ears to capture all that nectarine sound. No one has ever expressed anything like that anywhere. Right? That is the poetry of Rupa Goswami about the holy name of Krishna. And the Advaita Acharya called Mahaprabhu Krishna, as Mahaprabhu, down here to distribute the holy name of Krishna to everyone, to madden them with divine nectar. Guru Maharaj said there was one song, like Bengali song or something, and they say, three puggles have ruined Navadvip. Puggle means crazy, and like saying, three crazy people, three lunatics ruined Navadvip, the seat of learning and scholarship and ritual, and they're having elaborate weddings for cats. People on the internet are going, well, yeah. Yeah, I'm into that. You know, that sounds good. But Guru Maharaj mentioned it as a symptom of how far they'd wandered off from pure Vedic understanding. So, and at that time, and there all the paraphernalia like mridanga, kartals, other things they used for Kali Puja, different things. We're told on Ekadashi they might chant a little Krishna Nam or when bathing in the Ganga. They're just really gone off, right? And like Bengal, modern day Bengal, when you go there, you know, Vishwakarma Puja, which I kind of like. All the craftsmen that day, they worshiped their tools. So like if you have a Makita power drill, you set it on a table and then get some incense out and a ghee lamp. And it's like Marie Kondo. You know, you thank it for the service that's done for you in the last year and hope that this year will be, you know, screwing many screws, you know, or whatever it might be. So they worship their tools. They have Lakshmi Puja. I've seen in Puri where if you get to the bank, when they open the doors, they open the bank. The first thing they do before they let anyone in is they do a puja to all the money. With full paraphernalia, you know, a ghee lamp, and the guy ringing the bell, and, you know, incense, blowing the conch shell. And after they've done the puja, then the customers can come in. And we see that here, and also the Chinese. They have like a little altar with some incense burning and some goddess of fortune representation there. So they're doing so many things like this. But then the song of the Virgin said, but then these three puggles came and ruined everything. These three lunatics, these crazy people. Who are they? Vishnu, what is it, you know, Shiva, Krishna, Shiva, and Vishnu. They're the three crazy people. And, you know, Nimai Pandit is Krishna. Who else did I say? Vishnu, Mahavishnu, Advaita Charja, but he's sometimes Sadashiva. Oh, Nityananda, you know. That's what they, these are the three crazy people. Mahaprabhu, Nityananda, and Advaita. And they represent, you know, in various ways, the original, like Guna avatars, things like that. Remember, Advaita Charja's day job is Mahavishnu, right? Mahavishnu or Jagat Karta, Mayaya, Ya Srijatyada, Tasyavataram Evayam, Advaita Charjam Ishwaram. Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami is saying, who is this person? Mahavishnu. What does Mahavishnu do? Right. We're told, you know, Srishti, Srishti, Stiti, Pralaya, Shadana, Shaktireka. No, that's another one. What is it? Yasya, Prabha, Prabhavato, Jagadanda, Koti, Koti, Svaseshu, Vishudhari, Vibhuti, Bindam, tad brahma niskalam anantam ashesha bhutam. There and other places that from his loma vilija, from his this divine, first we have Krishna and then Nityananda, Balaram, Nityananda Ram. So as Guru Maharaj said, the first other than Krishna is Balaram. It's interesting to say that way. So, and Guru Maharaj, the implication being like, he can oppose Krishna sometimes, but it's sweet opposition, noble opposition. He can have a different opinion on things. We know he likes to solve things with the club. Krishna may prefer at times diplomacy. Baladeva says, "What? Why all the talk? See my club? Done." So, but the first other, and what's interesting, and Kaviraj Goswami reveals this, that you could think, oh, so the first other than Krishna, like a, he's just like a clone of Krishna, doesn't, no. He's like, you know, same, but different. Color is different. Mood is different. And rather than competing or imitating, told Ekala Ishvara Krishna Arsa Britya. There's one Ishvara Krishna, like Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadi Adir Govinda Sarvakarna Karnam. And what Krishna? Govinda, right? Who full spectral range of sensual possibilities. Govinda is pleasing all the senses. It implies even Eros. So what is the position of Balaram? Britya, servant. He sees Krishna and wants to serve him. Not to be like him, to imitate him, to serve him. That's it. His love and affection is expressed in that way. And like a couple of things, a few things, no. His one name, Ananta. One means unlimited. So I've mentioned it. In this world, when they have the love song or poetry or something, sometimes the man towards the woman say, I want to be the ground beneath your feet. And, you know, the cloth that wraps your body, and these kind of sentiments they express. And for them, it's just poetry, right? Or metaphor, or whatever. With Balaram, it's a fact. Sandini, he's the ground, he's the chair that he sits in. It's a Chinmoy chair. The chair is made out of consciousness, person, enriched with dedication. Right? He's his Brahman thread. He's so many, he's always on his body at every moment. We can't have a stereotype about the spiritual world. How is that possible? As Ananta. So he has unlimited service aspirations. He's the throne, the Shringasan. He appeared in the womb of Yashoda to ready it for the appearance of Devaki, to get it ready for the appearance of Krishna. So there's like Singasan there, Ananta. Right? And the hoods, the umbrella, everything. That's his idea. He has unlimited ideas how to serve. And together with Yogamaya, they cast and script Krishna Leela. So then we're told Chatur Vyuha. Krishna, Balaram, then these four Vishnu Vyuha means a like a squadron. And Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha. Vasudev, Krishna, absent Shakti, Sankarshan, Balaram, Pradyumna, as we told the other day, who is it? Raghunandan Thakur is said to be an incarnation of Pradyumna. Anyway, Pradyumna Aniruddha. So, and then we're told there's another one, the second quadruple. And we think like, gee, I was just trying to figure out the first one. Now I find out there's two. And oddly enough, that is the longest purport in the Chaitanya Charitamritam of Srila Prabhupada. It just says, you know, and then there's the second quadruple expansion, Vasudeva Sankarshan. And then there's like, I forget, 17 pages of purport, quoting different acharyas, they're expanding, explaining. But then we come to the Purusha avatars, Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, Kiradakshaya Vishnu. And after that, Guna avatars, Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva. And then Leela avatars, Yuga avatars, Shaktivesh avatars, more avatars than you can shake a stick at. As innumerable as the waves of the ocean. That's what it says. That's more avatars than you can shake a stick at. So, the Purusha avatars, of which the first is Mahavishnu. And we're told, lying in yoga nidra. This, what I really like about this is that it shows no exertion on his part. It's not like for creation, you know, he's breaking a sweat. Although Garbhadakshaya Vishnu does. Mahavishnu, so it said, he's lying in the causal ocean. Right? A causal ocean. Because there's got to be some way that everything is, there's nothing other than Krishna. That we have to understand. There is nothing, there's only Krishna. And Krishna means Radhan Krishna, Lalita Vishaka, Nanda Yasoda, Sri Ram Sudha, all of this, the system. When we say Krishna, he's never in isolation, except from a very distant view, just like if you see Everest from far away, you say, oh, hi. But if you get closer, you see, oh, there's Ketu, Annapurna, there are different subordinate peaks surrounding it. So Krishna, there's only Krishna, right? But some, for the necessity of this world, you know, Krishna, there has to be some way that spiritual substance can be transformed into matter, right? So Guru Maharaj introduces the conception of chayabas, a shadow representation. So he's saying the mind is a shadow representation of the spiritual mind. And, you know, that sounds philosophical when it comes from Guru Maharaj. People, oh, it's kind of confusing. But Shakespeare says, out, out, brief candle, life's but a walking shadow. Right? Life's but a walking shadow. This is Shakespeare. A poor player who struts and frets his hour upon the stage and then is heard no more. It is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. That kind of sums it up. You know, analyze that. So, I say, well, Shakespeare, he had some issues with, you know. So, why did I mention that? Because
isolation.
Oh, right, Krishna. So, to make this world, there has to be a way that I, to make it appear. Just like there's a cognitive scientist who gives the example of the desktop, right? On everyone's familiar with. So on the desktop, there are icons, folders with files in them, images and everything. But actually, that's not true, right? We know, you know, it's pixels and bits. Just like they'll say, oh, it's quarks. Yeah, but the quarks are, you know, I don't want to be quirky about it, but the quarks, that you know, it's just like when you make a letter, that's not the information. It represents something. There's a headline. This just happened. You can write that in different languages. It's not that the shape of those letters is full of meaning or it's just an interpreting those symbols. So he's saying, when you see the file on your desktop, the folder with the files in it, it's just an icon. It's a representation of something else. At the same time, you don't want to delete it. You know, he said, because someone will say, oh, then, all right, I see. So you're saying, so that train that's coming down the track, you want to step in? No, you don't want to do that any more than you want to delete a file with some valuable information in it. Right? Well, that's another subject for another time. But what I mean to say is there, so Chaya Bas, a shadow representation of the spiritual, that's what we have here. Tamasa bahurupena vestita karmahetana. We are dressed in our karma, according to Manu. This is karmic dress, right? Generated by me, by you, by others. It's not a random assignment. You know, like, told, you know, what did you get? Oh my God, I'm going to be a stool-eating pig. You know, no, there's got to be a reason for that. As I told, the New Age thing, they always go like, you know, people love to hear like, and you know, they said that like five lifetimes ago I was a princess, and then, my, you know, and then it goes on from there, right? They never tell them like, you know, seven lifetimes ago, you were a stool-eating pig. Because that just doesn't sell, you know. And we've got the fragrance that, you know, no, that, you know, who's going to buy that, right? But that you were a princess or, you know, and then something went wrong, they didn't understand or, you know, like. Someday someone will get it. Right. So, the representation of that, and it's described in great detail in the Bhagavatam and elsewhere, but and it's fascinating, right? How the, you know, the causal ocean and the womb of Prakriti and the primordial elements and this, but I just mean the. Say these things to give a hint of how great Advaita Acharya is. That as Mahavishnu, so we're talking, lying in the causal ocean in yoga nidra means like half asleep. It's yogic sleep. It's not conventional sleep by any stretch of the imagination. So with eyes half closed, you know, and he's there, and he's from the pores on his divine form, universes come out in the form of like golden effulgent eggs, and then they expand. He's Maha Vishnu. He's large to begin with, but when you're in the world of consciousness, how to measure things is different. But still, so the universes come out. You can imagine that the pores are large size. If embryonic universes come out, although they could be really small too. but I think they're large, maybe extra large, extra, extra large. You know, and they come out, so you see all these little golden universes coming out of the fire, and then they expand to like a billion by a billion. You can use kilometers or miles. When it gets that big, it's just, they're big. It's a billion this way and a billion that way. Any unit you can use. And that, and so that's what he does. And then, where we told, further expands, Garbhadakshay Vishnu enters into each universe. And then, lastly, Kiradakshay Vishnu as a planet within that universe. And from the, from Garbhadakshay, the Brahma lotus comes with Brahma, the first so-called being, Atmabhu, Atmayoni, self-born Brahma, awakes atop a lotus flower and begins the process of creation. But another side point is that we're told, Maya is illusion and is a shadow representation of Chit Shakti. That's why. Chayeva yasya bhuvanani vibharti durga. Chaya means shadow. Shadow representation. So how can Vishnu interact with Maya? It cannot be direct. That's not possible. So again, lying in yoga nidra, half the eyes half closed, and it shows you how remote the connection is, right? Is that from his peripheral glance, not even like this, right? In the periphery means here, which you don't even see directly, right? So eyes half closed, yoga nidra, etc. The peripheral vision of Mahavishnu, that glance, everything in this plane is consciousness, right? And consciousness always means consciousness doesn't, is not like a cloud in the sky, right? Or gas in a chamber or something, right? Got some consciousness. Shake it up really good first, you know, before you're like, psst. Wow, I didn't know that. You know, consciousness cannot be divorced of personality. That's why Guru Maharaj said the rishis, everything they see behind the moon, an object, the personality, always. So, anyway, his glance personifies as Shambhu, Shiva, right? But Shambhu, more particularly, who's the, what? The sum total of all jivas is one perspective. So, within him are all the jivas who will enter this creation. And what does he do? He... Mayinam to vidhi, mayinam to maheshwam, prakriti vidyan, mayinam to maheshwar. His consort is Maya. He's being Shiva, as we told, milk can turn into yogurt, yogurt cannot become milk. So in this case, Vishnu to Shiva, but not back in the other. So Shiva, there's Bhogshiv, Tyagshiv, Bhaktashiv. He, Bhogshiv, Maya is his consort, right? He can interact with her. So it is Shambhu who impregnates all these Jiva souls into Maya, the womb of Maya. And in the Brahma Sanghita, there's almost an apology there, the explanation when they say, this is tantamount to what we understand as sexual intercourse. And the apology is said, There's no other way to describe it because that's what it is. It's not a metaphor. That's what it is. So Gurudev once said, again, his ontological sense of humor, he said, I don't know if people understood what he meant, but he said, we can use Brahma Sanyata for sex education. You know, but that's what he's talking about, because that's what it's described. Right? The lingam of Shiva and the yoni of Maya. And he impregnates through the lingam into the yoni of Maya all the jiva souls who will appear in the world. But you think, and who, what about Mahavishnu? His peripheral glands, it's like, another day at the cosmos. Universe is coming out of his. So to think that that person who has universe is coming out of his pores, whose peripheral glands personifies the Shabu and impregnates the sum total of the jivas into the womb of Maya, has appeared as a Advaita Acharya, then understand something about who is a Advaita Acharya. Jagat Mahavishnur Jagat Karta Mayaya Ya Srijatyada Tasyavataram Evayam Advaita Charjam Ishwaram Panchatat Vatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupas Rupatakam Bhakta Avataram Advaita Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakti Shaktikam. Panchatattva Advaita Acharya. And that Advaita Acharya, what power has the, and by that I mean not like, not making universes. No, beauty over power. The power of Advaita Acharya is heart. The creation is a secondary function. And non-Krishna theistic systems, that's always like the biggest deal. It's like God creating things. And Krishna's playing with Radharani, Braja Gopis, all his devotees and everything, and these things are going on, they're outsourced to avatars, other, you know, he doesn't have time and to take a break from all the play and happy pastimes. That's what God should be doing, not like working 9 to 5, you know, creating stuff, you know. So that Advaita Acharya, he descended in this world. Think Mahavishnu walking on this planet, right, moving, you know, going to the market. And he sees the fallen condition of the people, and it's heartbreaking to him. It's heartbreaking for those who actually know what Krishna consciousness is. Stas Goswami says in the Vilapakusa Manjali in praise of Sanatan Goswami, Vairagya Yug Bhakti Rasa Prayatnai Apayayam Mam Anabim Samandam Kripam Buri Yak Paraduka Duki Sanatanastvam Prabhum Ashrayami. You're so happy and ecstatic in Krishna consciousness, because Krishna is ecstasy personified, Rasa Raj, Akhila Rasamrita Murti. But I see there's a type of unhappiness you experience. And what is that? You're unhappy to see people who don't have a touch of that or a connection with it. That makes you unhappy. That so much joy, an ocean of ecstatic joy is there to be had. And what are they doing? Mayam ragam doitamitsasam dadavat. Chasing after Maya. Why Maya is so ashamed, like, oh, I'm deluding people. I'm ashamed to show myself before you, my Lord. Why you gave me this service of deluding people, making them forget you and chase after silly things, substitutes for anything but you. So that is giving some pain to his heart. And he knows it's time for the Yuga Avatar, the Avatar of the age, to deliver the Yuga Dharma, chanting the holy name of Krishna. And so, and what is his way is very sweet and charming. Because the devotees know the power of Tulsi. You know that story where the Dwaraka queen, I forget, Satyabhama Rukmini, she invited some Brahmin for some, you know, auspicious yajna thing, you know, and they come in. And it's a trick of Krishna. He may have appeared, but he tells her that it's really auspicious to give your husband, like as one of the offerings, you know. And she makes the mistake of giving Krishna, and then they're going to take him away. And she's now heartbroken, like, what, I'm so stupid. Like, they told me, like, if you donate your husband, that's really good. He's like, okay, you know. And then when they're all done, she goes, oh, that was nice. They're like, where are you going? Like, well, we're taking him with us. No, what have I done? Like, so they bring out these, they're saying, well, you got to give us then equal value. Well, all right. His weight and gold, jewels, you know, and they have this giant scale, and you see the Krishna's on one side, and she's putting all the bangles, and they're bringing all the jewelry and everything on the other side, and it's always like that. And they're like, oh no, what are we going to do? Because, you know, Krishna is heavy. All that heavy lifting, you know, holding up universes. Baladev, you got to help out. You know. So then we're told, and I tell this because I thought it was just like a poster or one of those stories, but Guru Maharaj told the story, so. So somehow the hint comes to take a tulsi leaf and write Krishna on it. And so they take all the jewelry, all the golden bangles off the scale and put one tulsi leaf on it. It goes, whoop. The power of Tulsi, and then they get Krishna back through Tulsi Devi. So Advaita Acharya, he knows this story better than I. So what does he do with those hands that in another context generate universes from their pores? Does he think, like, yeah, maybe stack up a whole bunch of universes. That ought to get his attention. No. He takes some Ganga Jal, liquid Krishna Prem. The Ganga is liquid Krishna Prem. Krishna Prem in the form of liquid. Krishna Prem, well, Tulsi leaves there. Now he's got unlimited wealth in the palm of his hands. And Arvind Swami says, Tulasi dala matrena chulasya jalakena ba vikrinite atmanam svanam, atmasvan, whatever. Bhaktebhyo bhakta vatsala. He loves his devotees. Ahang bhakta paradino. Yasvan Tantra Iva Dvija. In the beginning of the Bhagavatam, it said he's Swarat. He's totally independent. But in the ninth canto, he says, that's normally true. But in the presence of devotion, it's as if I lose my independence. I can't resist, you know, Ahoy Tukiya Prati. I can't resist. They can't resist me. I can't resist them. As I am irresistible, The devotee is irresistible to me. Devotion brings me. The infinite under the control of the finite. Advaita with the palms, Tulasi Dala, Matrena, Jala, Chulasya, Jalakenava. Praise to Krishna, please come down and save the people. And he said, I was in Vaikuntha and then I heard Advaita, what? Calling. And then I saw, oh, it's Advaita, I can't. This is a call I've got to take. Right? So, Advaita, so we said, Vishnu Priya gave, Sachimata gave. Now we're saying, Advaita Charja brought Mahaprabhu down. And after his appearance, he went there with Sita, Thakurani, his wife, and she named the baby Nimai. And we're told that Advaita, again, you can remember the Mahavishnu aspect and other. If he went to someone's house, like people say, well, we'd like to invite you over to our house for a little prasad. Okay. When he went there, they were worshiping shalagrams at the time. And we know, you're seeing, they're not so easy to identify. It really requires an expert to see the shankara, padma chakra, the position of the lotus flower, to know that this one's Padmanabha, this one is Rishikesh, Or whether it's real or not. So we're told, when Advaita Acharya would go to their house and then they see like the family deity and he would bow down and give dandavats. If it wasn't a real shalagram, it would explode and just go and people are like, oh, Lord. Is the crown still good? No, all right. And he gives dandavats and it goes. And I go, I guess we should have looked more closely. So when he went to see Nimai, the baby, and they're saying like, why is he bowing down to a little baby who was just born? But he did. And I think Nimai may have put his lotus feet on his head. And because he was a disciple of Madhavendra Puri, Mahaprabhu, we're told, the god-brother of one's guru is considered guru, is to be treated as such. Just like your father's brother is your uncle, they get some, they're not treated as pure, but some special respect. So Advaita Acharya, the disciple of Madhavendra Puri, just saying, Madhavendra Puri, who's coming up soon, the disappearance day, his disciples are Nityananda, Advaita, maybe Pundarik Vidyaniti, who else that I meant miss? Haridas Thakur. Like it goes on and on and on. Like those are his disciples. So, and Ishwarapuri, who's Mahaprabhu's guru. So, since Advaita's godbrother of Ishwarapuri, Mahaprabhu is showing respect to him. And it's driving Advaita Acharya crazy. Because imagine also, if in the background, you're Mahavishnu, you've got the lay of the land, pretty much, and ontology, you know who you're dealing with. And he's just being, dandavat, like, stop it! And when he sees that some others, he's dealing with them, like, cruelly or harshly or mercilessly, he's saying, I want some of that, because he's saying, that they're dear enough to him that he can be mean or cruel or merciless, apparently, to them, because they're so dear. And he's saying, I'm not so dear. I thought, Rupa Goswami, Advaita, why are you treating me with so much respect? So he's like, trying to find out a way, what would really upset Nimai Pandit, Mahaprabhu? So, what is the most upsetting thing? Mayavad. Sahajya, we can't even take seriously, right? It's just abject nonsense. But Mayavad is really annoying and insulting. You know, to describe God, if you said about someone, they're deaf, dumb, blind, lame, and stupid, that's an insult. That's what they're saying about God. Can't see, can't hear, can't know, can't. Deaf, dumb, blind, lame, and stupid. The ultimate reality. It's just punishable in every sense of the word, actually. So Advaita Charja, there's a thing, Yoga Vashishta was like heavy Mayavad. And by the way, Mayavad means like, I'm God, you're God, we're all God. So, I am he, as you are me, and we are all together. Right? John Lennon even said that in a mocking way. Right? So to think of the greatest and then think, I'm that. I heard this song recently. The first part, I thought, oh, this is very nice. It says, don't give up, don't give up, don't give up, no, no. And I thought, oh, very nice. And then the next line says, because I'm the greatest. Tonight, I'm the greatest. And I'm like, oh, God. Why did it was going so good up to that point. And then you fell into the trap. You know. It always happens. Huh. But anyway, so Advaita Charja, he starts doing it. Don't give up, don't give up. No, he starts preaching that. And when Mahaprabhu hears about it, he comes and starts beating him. And then Advaita Charja smiles, he's in ecstasy. And what do they say? Who is that? His wife saying, don't kill, it's in the book, don't kill that old man. Nimai Pandit's like, nonsense, rascal, you know. It's just like once Guru Maharaj was chastising Gurudev, but he had so much love for him, he's like supposed to be slapping him when he was younger, you know. Only Gurudev can say that. After Guru Maharaj was finished, Gurudev said to him, you don't know how to give a proper beating. Because Guru Maharaj couldn't, he just went like, goodness, that's not how you do it, anyway. But out of love and affection, he could not. But another time, when Gurudev was just disturbed by people offending Guru Maharaj, actually, and wanted to do something about it, and this like Nisringa Shakti kind of thing entered him, and he was ready to take action. And Guru Maharaj embraced him like a Dhritarashtra embrace, and Gurudev couldn't move any part of his body. He was like, and then he calmed down, and the passion left, and everything. And then later he said to Guru Maharaj, because he realized Guru Maharaj had summoned his potency. It's there. Mukti mukalitanjali sevatesman dharmartha kama gataya samaya pratiksha. Bilba Mangal said, they're waiting to serve the devotee should he need them. So Gurudev couldn't, he said, how much of your power did you use to subdue me? Does he think, maybe like gave it everything he had, you know. How much did you use? And Guru Maharaj said, very little. But he like couldn't move. And it just, he squeezed it out of him. So, why did I say that?
Mayavadis.
Oh, the Mayavadis. Oh, don't beat him. So Mahaprabhu was beating him, and Advaita becomes very happy that he transgressed that guru identity, and then some. And Mahaprabhu realized he'd been tricked by Advaita. Just as when he took sannyas, He's trying, Yahan Krishna Prananath Murali Vidan Kahan Karum Kahan Pan Brajendra Nandan. He's madly running in search for Krishna, wants to go to Vrindavan. But the pull of the hearts of his devotees, he's circling. He can't escape the gravitational pull of their devotion. So he just keeps going around like this until he relents. And then he's in this childlike state of divine madness, saying, I'm on my way to Vrindavan. He's deceived by Nityananda and Advaita. Nityananda tells some cowherd boys, if that sannyasi say this way is Vrindavan, he goes to the Jamuna, the Ganga, but the western side of the Ganga is taken to be Jamuna. They trick him, and he bathes there. He thinks, oh, I'm in the Jamuna, I'm in Vrindavan. He starts saying prayers, Chidanandamano, Jagat Premadatri, etc. Chidanandamano, you know, and when he comes out of the water, because his kopin is wet, his undergarment, and you see, Advaita charges there with fresh garments. And Mahaprabhu goes from internal, half external to external. And so he's like transitioning toward external awareness. And he said, Advaita, what are you doing here? He said, how did you know I was in Vrindavan? And Advaita charges up, you're kidding. Wherever you are is Vrindavan. And that's actually literally true. Wherever you are is Vrindavan. Hello. So then he goes, oh, and then he sees the so-called, that it's Nityananda, Advaita, oh, they've deceived me. And then Advaita Charja, please. And Advaita Charja, who generates universes, and his day job is Mahavishnu from the pores on his divine form, said, I am a humble householder. We do not have much, but I'm asking you to come to my house for lunch. And we have some, we collected some shock, some spinach from the forest, and a few things we can offer you. And Mahaprabhu goes, and they get Nityananda, they get Mother Sachi to come and have this big tearful reunion. As the singing and dancing go, and you know, Advaita and Nityananda play, they have a fight. An ontological parody. And when they at one point they start having these wonderful kirtans, and it's beautiful. Advaita Charja sings this one verse that is very mysterious, and it may be from like Vidyapati Chandidas one such, but I'm not sure where, but like that. And what he says, it's a verse that Radharani, it comes from her. We're just saying, today, how fortunate I am, today Madhava's in my house. But what she says, Madhava meaning Krishna, he's singing that, Advaita Charja. So don't ever think he doesn't know an infinitely more about everything than any one of us all know together. Right. He's singing that, and then Mukunda sings, it's so beautiful. The kirtan, and then they rest and everything and meet with Mother Sachi. But Advaita, he goes every year with the devotees from Navadvip to Puri for the Rath Yatra. Advaita Chandra, we say Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya. This is a good kirtan song. You're saying Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Because the syllables are right. And it, you know. But anyway, he goes there every year with all 200 Mahabhagavatas from Bengal. And he at one point, he writes Mahaprabhu a mystic letter, poem, giving him release. He goes, Guru Maharaj said, the Nam Sankirtan, Bahiranga Sangikori Nama Sankirtan, is his public service to give the holy name of Krishna to everyone. Right? Krishna Nama Siddhu Dhamma Danya Dana Sagaram. That he does, going everywhere, giving Krishna Nama, infusing. To what degree infuse Krishna Nama into the elephants and tigers and the Jharkhanda jungle? They're madly dancing in ecstasy. Tigers and elephants and everybody else. Right. So, but he has an internal reason that he's come in this particular yuga. Mahaprabhu comes in every color yuga. Sometimes Guru Maharaj says not even golden, the color of a parrot. But giving Nam Sankirtan. But only in this one. Once in the day of Brahma, Krishna comes and the Kali Yuga following that appearance. Radha Bhavadyuti Subolita, enveloped in the heart and halo of Radharani. He's come, he wants to experience what it's like to be her. This is unique. Once in 4,300,000,000 years does this occur. That's unique. Anarpita charim chirad korna avatirna kalo. So he's waiting for the signal from Advaita. He's trying to, we're told, during the daytime he tries to maintain his composure in Puri, and that's hard enough. So he keeps his distance from the deity. But at night, it's Prabhupada says, there's where there were wild performances of divine madness, what was going on behind closed door in the Gangbir. But still, daytime, some constraint, and evening, diving deep into that reality. But then Advaita writes his letter, because Mahaprabhu, and remember, 24 years, born, student, married, the 24 sannyas, then 24 more years, 18, 6 traveling around, but Puri is the base, then 18, Jagannath Rath Yatra and Jagannath Puri, and we're told the last 12 years, so the 12 years of his manifest pastimes. He's plunging the depths of Radhabhav, the heart of Srimati Radharani, incessantly, behind closed doors in the Gangbir in the company of Srup, Damodar, and Ramananda Roy. But he needs to get the signal for Advaita that now the time, you've done your public service, you can enter private life. So he writes this poem, and remember, Mahaprabhu would sometimes say to Advaita, like as a form, a pranam, yosi sosi namostute, means whoever you are, whatever you are, I offer my respect. It's like a joke. Then we're told sometimes with his mouth, he would make funny sounds to make Advaita laugh, like, you know, like. And Advaita would be delightfully laughing, just making nonsense sounds. But I mean, when you're the infinite, you can probably write a book about those sounds. But so then this letter comes from Advaita. It's a mystic poem saying, you know, that the price of rice in the marketplace now there's no value. What you, and he's saying basically what you came to sell, like you, it's been bought. Everyone, the type of madness you have, you're distributing. Everyone's mad now. They're mad with Krishna Nam, mad with the ecstasy of Krishna Prem. Right? Vishwagora was saying Magnam. The whole universe has been inundated with a flood of Krishna Prem. Everyone's drowning in it. They've lost their minds in the most delightful way. So, you're free. And Mahaprabhu says this to Srup Damodar, what do you think he means by this? He knows, but he said, what do you think he means? Srup Damodar doesn't want to answer that question. Because it, he knows this means his his pastimes were in their final stage, and then he will withdraw from this plane. We have no information whatsoever about Mahaprabhu Nityananda Advaita going to, you know, from Prakat to Aprakat, from manifest pastimes to unmanifest. Stripped down with ourselves. I don't know what it means. And Mahaprabhu said, I think I know what it means. And he said, he's like, and we've seen this at Teen Number Tank in Dum Dum Park. They make a deity of Kali or whatever. They do some puja. And then and the deities are made out of clay, straw, covered in clay, painted, and they look really beautiful. But then they take them and put them on a little float. They go to the center of the pond, sink, and then they're like there for the, and then the clay, and then it goes just back in the earth. It's done, you know, and it's like recycling. But that's village style. And Mahaprabhu says, oh, I think Advaita is like those village people, you know, they commission a deity for a puja, and when they're done, toss it in the pukur, the pond. But what he's saying, like, he brought me down with that tulsi leaf and that Ganga Jal and his heartfelt cries. And now I guess he's done with me. Doesn't need me anymore now. But really, it's the release of what is his position? He gives the signal to Mahaprabhu. Now you've done what you came to do. You fulfilled your obligations in public service as the Yuga avatar, flooded the world with Krishna Prem, distributed Krishna Nam to everyone. Now, this Sri Radhaya Mahima Kidrisho Vaniyeva, you can plunge the depths of that love that is Mahabhav, only the possession of Srimati Radharani, which is your internal reason for coming here. I know that. And Nityananda will go to Bengal, Bhaja Gauranga, Kaha Gauranga, Laha Gauranga Nam, and with Swarup Damodar and Ramananda, behind closed doors, you'll be plunging the depths of Radha Bhava, Radha Bhava Dyuti Subalita. So he's so great, so merciful, and so important a player in the Leela, the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Hare Krishna. So, Srila Advaita Acharya, his Avirbhav Mahamahutavatiti, Ki Jai Mahavishnu Avatar Sri Advaita Acharya Ru, Ki Jai Nitai Go Primanandi.